All right. Well, hey, everyone who's been in school, I want to congratulate you on almost finishing another year. Conway Schools ends on Thursday. Our seniors have already graduated, so that means they won't even be in. Will they be in class this week? They're gone. We just week early. Bye bye, y'all. That's how that works. Man, next year my daughter's gonna be a senior, and I'm thinking, what am I gonna do with this week? Sweepy green every day, yeah. So we have an app we use for all the chores written in the house, so it tracks everything from red, yellow to green. And so every once in a while, I call out Sweepy green, and that means every chore on the entire list has to be green. No, it doesn't. We'll discuss that later. Because you are wrong. All right. All right. Well, there's a lot of folks here today, and I'm real excited to see everyone. Some of y'all are here for graduation, and some of y'all are just here to have fun. Thank you for having fun with us. I appreciate it. So we are going to do our prayer time, and today we are going to have a special guest prayer today. Elizabeth is going to pray for us today, and as a Life 360 church, we have core values. You can see them on the back wall back there in the sanctuary. Well, out in the foyer out there on the wall, you can see them there. But the prayer we're going to be praying today is over personal touch. So from the pastors knowing your name to being an authentic community through a life group, Life 360 Church believes each person matters and should belong to a family of friends. We want everyone to feel and know that we care for them, so we give them our personal touch. That's one of the wonderful things about being in this church and being a part of what we do here. We're also going to be praying for another Life 360 church for this week. We're going to be praying for Life 360 All Nations with Pastor Bill Hennessy and Marie Hennessy out there in Springfield. They are, most Life 360 churches are rural churches, as you know. But Life 360 All Nations, even though it's in the sprawling city of Springfield, they target a specific group of people that most churches don't target. And that's going to be the folks that are, they're not from here. And so they reach out to folks. We were just there last month, and my boys got to be in the bounce house with some kids from, where were they from? Africa's a country. It's really big. I think they were from Uganda. They were Ugandan. Yeah. So, no, they were DRC. No. Anyway, they're from that area there. My African geography escapes me today. Yes, DRC, not the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's a different one. Central African Republic. That's it. The Central African Republic. You know, we have a long name as a nation, but we take that for granted. We call ourselves United States of America. Do you know how difficult that is for people across the pond to say? That's why everyone calls us USA. Anyway, my wife's giving me the look again. We're going to be praying for them. They just opened up their welcome center out there. They're doing some great things, bringing people in that are already coming into Springfield, helping them get integrated into the community, learn how to assimilate into American culture. Simple things like how to do grocery shopping, because it may shock you, but if you go overseas, grocery shopping looks very different. Okay? So our missions focus of the week is going to be on Youth Alive. Youth Alive is a high school campus ministry. Last week we prayed for Chi Alpha, which is the college ministry, but we're going to be praying for Youth Alive. This is a high school campus ministry. A lot of folks, they do FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but Youth Alive is another one of those options out there. It's part of US missions. And so we're going to be praying for them. nationally. And then the local church we're going to be praying for this week is Crossing Over Baptist Church. I asked Elizabeth what church she wanted to pray for in Conway or in the area, and she said, I want to pray for Crossing Over. Of course you do. All right. So if you'll stand with me, Elizabeth is going to pray for us today. Amen. If any of you are interested in praying for our prayer time, please let me know ahead of time and we can get something scheduled for you guys. This is something we like to really do. We want to pray for our missionaries. We want to pray for other Life 360 church. We want to pray for our church that the core values of Life 360 will become a part of who we are. And we definitely, absolutely want to pray for our other local churches in the community because we are not in competition with them. We are not fighting with them. And we want to help them be all that they can be as churches as well. Because when we all function well, when we all reach people for Jesus, the kingdom of God gets bigger, and that is a good thing. All right. Well, a couple announcements, and then we'll go on from there. Disciple Makers does meet tonight. Yeah, Mother's Day threw us off last week, but that's okay. We love our mothers, and we love celebrating our mothers. So I hope everyone, all you moms out there, had a wonderful Mother's Day. All right, so that is tonight at 6 p.m. That's going to be in the Bears Den, our fellowship hall right over there. Or you can stream online through the Church Center app. Acts 2 Journey, we are making progress in there. That is every first Sunday in the Bears Den, 6 p.m. We do that instead of Disciple Makers on the first Sunday. Acts 2 Journey helps is a system, program, curriculum that we're using as leaders in the church, and everyone is invited, absolutely, because more voices in the room is better, in my opinion. It helps us determine what Jesus is doing in our community so that we can get on board. We don't want to force Jesus's hand, or because we can't, so we want to be on board with what he's doing. Kids, if you're interested in going to Kids Camp 2025, it is fast approaching. So that's going to be July 14th through 18th. It is $210 per camper and $40 per volunteer if you're interested in going. If money is a problem, please see me or Miss Leah after church, and we will definitely speak to the parents if the money is the issue, and we can try and see what we can do to help out with that, okay? National Youth Conference, we are going. That's going to be August 4th through 8th. I encourage you guys to be praying for my daughters who are going to this, actually. They're going to be participating in National Fine Arts. This will be their first time. It will be the largest venue that they've ever performed in. Well, your art is performing. No nerves, Elizabeth. You'll be fine. So, but, you know, I would like you guys to please be praying for them. This is going to be a first-time adventure for all of us. So, all right. The Bears Den is available for anyone who would like to schedule an event in there. Please just go to life360.org/Conway to reserve your time. If you don't have the church app, please get the church app. That's how you keep up with everything that we're doing. This is the Church Center app. You can find that in the Google Store and the Google Play Store and the App Store. I almost got those two mixed up together. So please download that. You can find out what's going on, see the church calendar, watch all of our sermons. If you're not here, you can watch them on Monday. I know we have people that do that on their commute to work. Love you. All right. Are you ready? You ready? You ready? All right, kids. See you later. They're all waiting for that slide. Bye, kiddos. Have fun. We will miss you. All right. Well, they're all gone. Huh? I know. We're going to be collecting up our tithes and offerings real quick. If you are interested in giving online, there's a QR code on the screen that you can scan, or you can visit life360.org/giving. Make sure you click on Conway as the campus so that it is the right place. We're going to pray first, and then Elizabeth's going to pass around the bucket if you have the old school standard way of giving that is not electronic. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for everyone who gives to the continued ministry of this church, God. We know that all funds are yours. Everything is yours, God. We love you, Jesus. I pray for blessings upon everyone who is faithful, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen. Now you can do it. So, I often like to call our church like a church in training. Because everyone that does things around the church is a lot of us are doing it for the very first time. Abigail's never played drums on stage before until she got here and started doing that. Elizabeth never played in front of people or led music, and it's other things like an offering bucket. You know, whenever you go to other churches, a lot of times we just take for granted all the things that like the ushers do and the counters do and all that stuff because we don't see it or we don't really think about it. But, you know, we teach people. And if anyone is ever interested in serving in any of these capacities, it doesn't always have to be us. Please let me know, okay? I mean, these are little things, but every little bit of service helps with not only with what the church is doing, but also it's a way for y'all to minister as well. And we want to make sure you guys have that opportunity, okay? If you can play bass, we're looking for a bass player. I mean, think about it. All we're missing is a bass player, and we could have our own full band. Yeah. All right. Well, we're in a series called To the Church, Letters from God. And the reason why it's titled To the Church is because every time in the book of Revelation, which is where we are, when Jesus is telling John to write to the seven churches in Asia Minor, it always starts off with the words, to the church in blank, fill in the blank. Okay, so we have been in this series for a while. We are approximately halfway done with all of these. What's that face for? I know. So let's take a look at where we are. We have been in Ephesus, where Jesus was giving a commendation about their hard work and their perseverance. He rebuked them for forsaking their first love in loving others. They stopped loving other people. They became so hard-hardened that people would show up and they're like, no, no, not good enough, bye-bye. That's not how Christians should be. So Jesus says, here's your action. Remember your first love and repent. Means stop it. Turn around. Go the other way. Then we went to Smyrna. Smyrna, their commendation from Christ is that they are suffering persecution and they have poverty, but they are persevering. There's no rebuke for them. And Jesus tells them, do not fear, be faithful. Sometimes when we're going through bad things, there's a reason that we're going through bad things. We just don't know what it is. But God is on the other side of it. And God is with you through it. So don't be afraid. Then we went to Pergamum. This was last week. We were in Pergamum. And their commendation is that they're being true to the faith. However, they've started to tolerate compromise. And their action is that they need to repent. See, when we tolerate compromise in our lives, we lose truth. We lose the truth. An example. So, here's an example. Let's say you are a believer in God. Okay? And you go to McDonald's. And of the rare breed, you actually go in and order food from an actual person. I know, we don't do this anymore. They have an app that you, I don't know if you know this, but I use the app. I love the app. But you can literally go into the restaurant, sit at a table, order everything on an app, and then put your table number in, and they'll walk it over to you and say nothing. As an introvert, that, I mean, maybe that's like your thing. I have my days, but it still doesn't, you know. But here's my example. Imagine you actually went up to the person and you ordered your thing and then it came back and your burger was wrong. Imagine that, burger being wrong at McDonald's. That happens all the time, especially when you're like super picky. Like there's some, like when you order a cheeseburger with no cheese. Or when you order a pizza with no cheese. So, but let's say you are a believer, you've come from church, you're decked out in all of your crosses, and you got your Bible with you, and, you know, maybe you're like in an after-church Bible study at McDonald's, and then they get your burger wrong, and you just light them up. That's not good. Light them up. You go full Karen mode on them. There's no Karens here, right? Not today. Okay, anyone listening online that names Karen, I'm sorry. It's an unfortunate thing for y'all. My mom's name was Karen, and I said, "Mom, I'm so sorry that this has happened to you." You go full Karen mode on them, and you've seen some of these videos, like online videos, like there's no way that person's a believer. But see, the thing is that there was these people in the church that were constantly acting like this all the time. It wasn't just a mistake. This is like who they were. And they didn't want to change. But because the church didn't want to lose these people for one reason or another, they just ignored it. Does that make sense? They were tolerating compromise. Well, I know, but they're just like this. You ever met someone like that? That's just who they are. Like Jesus doesn't redeem people or something. Or heal people. Like, that's not what he does for a living, changing people. Anyway. All right, so today we're going to be in Thyatira. Say that word with me. Thyatira. Sounds like a tie rod, right? So I'm going to actually get into Thyatira some more, but we are going to be doing To the Church in Thyatira, Revelation 2, 18 to 29. And instead of getting into the background of Thyatira, which, you know, every other series I've gone in and I've, like, given you all the background about the city first, I want to read our scripture first, and then we're going to get into the background, okay? So we're kind of mixing it up. You ready? So Revelation 2, 18 to 29 says this, "To the angel of the church in Thyatira write," see, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering. And I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All right. So we started off our whole series here with the Ephesian church, and I talked about them at the beginning here. They were the church that they knew all the rules, they kept all the rules, but they didn't love people, and they wouldn't let people in. They wouldn't reach out to people. You were never good enough to be a part of the Ephesian church. That's bad. That's not exactly the best way to spread the kingdom of God. But we also have the rigidity and the lovelessness of them. That we have the Smyrna Christians who were being persecuted. The Pergamum Christians were being persecuted, and prophets of compromise were there. But here's the thing. Economic pressures are what the Thyatiran Christians were facing. Economic pressures. What does it mean when I say economic pressures? What do you think of? Well, not necessarily money problems. Supply problems, maybe. What else? Okay. What is it when I say the words economic pressure? What does the word pressure make you think of? Press down? What if I use the term peer pressure? What does that make you think of? So you got pressured to make a social media account and lie about your age, and then you got caught by your dad. And yeah, I get it. I was there. I know you still are. We love you. But here's the deal. Peer pressure is when your friends encourage you to do something that maybe you should do or maybe you shouldn't do, right? So economic pressure would be when the economy or when money pressures you to do something that you should do or maybe you shouldn't do, okay? So that's what we're talking about when we talk about economic pressure. So Christians in Thyatira, in contrast to those in Ephesus, were doing really, really good works, and they had so many people that were coming to them, and they were tolerating them, despite the fact that the folks that would come in, and even the ones that would teach false things. Does that make sense? We are so open. The doors are so open to everyone. But it's not, and we believe that here at our church. Our doors are open. Come on in. I don't care who you are, where you're from, what you believe, or anything like that. Come on in. The difference is in Thyatira, it wasn't just a come on in. It's, hey, come on in, and you tell us what you believe, and we can make it a part of who we are because we want you in our church so that you can start giving to our church, and you can be a part of who we are, and we can start building up financially who we are and become more important within Thyatira, and people might just accept us more often. Yes. Popular. Right on. It was a popularity thing. I mean, think about it. If Jesus said to go and make disciples, isn't popularity a part of that? I mean, don't we want to be popular? Ah, this is a trick question, isn't it? You guys don't like the trick questions. I get it. Thyatira was known for its merchants and crafts and guilds. How many of y'all are artists? Like, you like your art? You want to sell your art? You want to, you know, my mom used to cross-stitch a lot or whatever. You know, some of y'all, what's the big thing right now? Crocheting? Is that like the popular art thing that people are doing now? Machines can't replicate crochet yet. Yet. AI is amazing. All right. It's coming. The crocheting AI is coming. We have a debate in our family. Can you tell? All right. So Thyatira was like the artsy community. Okay? So they were the artsy community. You would go there, and you would be a merchant. You would be selling your wares. You'd be selling what you have constructed and built by your own hands, because AI was not around. Thank you, Jesus. And here's the thing. If you wanted to be in the in crowd in Thyatira, you had to be a part of what was called a guild. Do you guys know what a guild is? Do you guys remember that from, like, history? What is a guild? A group of people that do the same thing. So you would have your digital art guild in Thyatira that would all be on their iPads. You would have your cross-stitch guilds, and then you'd have your quilting guilds, and then you'd have your bronze-making guilds, because that's actually was a big thing. So you remember how Jesus started off this letter talking about how he's got, you know, his bronze, and all. It was a big deal there. They were into this whole bronze thing, and guess what they made with the bronze a lot of times? Idols, yep, that wasn't hard. Why? Because that's what sold. It's like nowadays when you make anything in the community and you make anything with a cow on it, people like to buy it. Or in Conway, anything with a bear, because Conway bears, that'll sell. That's one of the things we always talk about whenever you're going to a community and you're going to sell your wares, figure out what the big thing is in that community and you sell it there, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what's wrong with the guilds. Whenever you went to a guild meeting, because they held meetings, you had to go there, and they would often honor the guild's deity. The deity that they honored, their patron deity. You ever heard of patron saints? It's something the Catholic Church does a lot of times. You know, Michael, the patron saint of military police or things like that. Yeah. So but theirs is that they would have a patron deity. They would have a false god that they would worship at these guild meetings. On top of that, and we talked about this last week, there was also a meal. And the meal was a meal that was offered to idols, and then they would serve it at the guild meetings. So the people, Christians, if they showed up to a guild meeting and they were given a plate of food, or they went through the buffet line, because, you know, whenever you go to a meeting, there's always a buffet line. They'd be given a plate of food, but that food had been given to an idol. And Jesus is pretty clear. We learned about this last week. That's a no-no. We don't do that. We don't eat food offered to idols. Why? Stumbling block to other people that don't know. Because if you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, eat that food, basically what you're saying is, okay, I'm okay with this, that you believe in this idol. I'm actually going to accept I'm going to accept this belief as well. It communicated something that believers, you don't want to communicate. It was a popularity thing too. You're right. It's absolutely a popularity thing. But here's the thing. Jesus goes on and says this. Jesus says that the church tolerates Jezebel. Ooh, how many of y'all have heard that name before? Oh, and all the Christians who have read the Bible are like, Jezebel. Have you ever met someone named Jezebel? It's not exactly the most popular female name. Okay, so in the Christian circles, in the church, we have this thing that we like to call the Jezebel spirit. And I'm telling you right now, if you look at the scripture, you go back and look at it in the original language and everything, that is exactly what Jesus is talking about. He's not actually talking about the lady named Jezebel in the church. He's talking about this Jezebel spirit that's in the church. And by Jezebel spirit, I don't mean like there's a demon named Jezebel that's there. It's this concept, it's this belief, it's this mental space of thinking or being affected by this concept of the Jezebel spirit, if you will. So what have you guys heard? What do you know about the Jezebel spirit? It's about idols? Okay, what else? We all like Jezebel, ooh. Sacrifice children. What else do we got? Immorality. What else do we got? Adultery. What else do we got? Nobody? Just evil. There's a lot of spirits that are evil, and that's definitely one of them. All right, so here is the definition of the Jezebel spirit. You guys ready? The Jezebel spirit is one that influences certain women or men to control or dominate husbands or wives, preachers, churches, families, and situations for the purpose of destroying biblical authority, harmony, family, and the church structure. You want to? I'll give y'all a minute if you want to write that down or take a picture or something. Is that what you thought it was? That's pretty all-encompassing right there, isn't it? The Jezebel spirit is one that influences certain women or men to control or dominate husbands or wives, preachers, churches, families, and situations for the purpose of destroying biblical authority, harmony, family, and church structure. So, is that what you expected it to be? Is that what you expected? Yeah, that's what you expected. The biblical Jezebel from back during the prophet times, the biblical Jezebel was not a prophetess. Did you know that? She wasn't. She was not a prophetess, but she sponsored 850 false prophets. She sought to take the lives of God's true prophets. She was never accused of harlotry. You know, putting herself out there for nefarious sexual things. Yeah, she was never accused of that, but she sponsored spiritual harlotry by leading Israel away from its God. So let me ask you this question: if someone is trying to lead someone else away from the truth, what would that sound like? So what does the Jezebel spirit sound like? Deceiving. Satan? Sure. Would it sound evil? Enticing. Profitable. It sounds what? What does it sound like? It sounds good. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, there was this tree, and it was named the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. And what did Satan do to Eve? What did he say? Enticed her. The tree looked what? The fruit looked what? Did it look nasty and rotten and gross? No, it looked good to eat. Guys, the spirit of Jezebel doesn't bring you in because things look bad. They bring you in through things that look and sound right. Do you think this is something that only existed at that time? Do you think it exists now? I'm going to do something I have never done before and I may never do again. I'm going to subject all of you to a 3-minute video, which I've done that before, I know. But this is a video from a church organization that exists in the United States and around the world. And I want you to listen to this video critically. Okay? And what I mean by that is really listen to it with your Christian heart on. And please, I'm asking you, please put your shield up. Okay? Your shield of truth. That's the feet. That's the boots. Sorry. Guys, you know what's right. Okay? And if you don't know what's right, I will help you through all of this. Okay? I'm subjecting you to this. I don't know where a lot of you guys are, but I want you to be aware that this is something that is something that I do not support. Does that make sense?
We are Unitarian Universalists. We are people of many paths who are brave, curious, and compassionate thinkers and doers. Every day, people are inundated with information, overwhelmed by demands, and pulled by a culture that seeks to divide us from the web of life. Unitarian Universalism reconnects, bringing people together with meaning and inspiration. We are a house without walls, a congregation without spiritual limits, and a movement that calls you to put more faith in yourself, your community, and your beliefs. We are a faith that honors your mind, your heart, your journey. Simply put, we are a guided path towards a better you and a better world. Grounded in hundreds of years of thoughtful religious communities, we are people of many generations, ethnicities, genders and sexualities, and spiritual backgrounds. People engaged in making the world a better place. People focusing on what really matters: love, justice, integrity, and hope. Unitarian Universalists have different beliefs, but shared values. We are Unitarian Universalists, and at the same time, we may also be agnostic, Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, humanist, Jewish, Muslim, pagan, atheist, believers in God, and those who let the great mystery be. The diversity of beliefs you'll find in a Unitarian Universalist community is one of our strengths. We're always learning how to see the world from a different perspective. What unites us are our core principles that uphold seven real-world values: believing in the worthiness of every person, showing compassion and fairness, accepting others for who they are, growing through a personal search for truth, leading with democratic spirit, working for justice, and understanding that everything is interconnected. 7 days a week, Unitarian Universalists live these principles by doing. When we gather, we worship, reflect, and remind ourselves what matters most in life. Whatever our age, we learn to live with more wisdom, more awareness, more gratitude, and more soul. We show our values by showing up to answer the call for social justice. We have a track record of standing on the side of love for civil rights, LGBTQ equality, immigration reform, environmental sustainability, reproductive justice, racial justice, and more. Find what it means to live your deepest values out loud. Join us on this extraordinary adventure of faith.
All right. What's your observations? They need Captain Absolutely. What else you got? Okay. Sure. Yeah. Pleasing everybody. God wasn't mentioned. Oh. One of, yeah. Yeah. This made you want to puke. There's no objective truth. There's nothing about Jesus in there. I was I had four different videos I could have chosen, and this was the longest one. I apologize, but I wanted you guys to get the full picture. This gets most of the picture of what they talk about. One of the key things that they talk about is what's called a covenant relationship. Now, this is an interesting thing because we talk about covenant relationship all the time as believers, don't we? God has a covenant relationship with us. He loves us, and salvation is available to us all the time. God's law is there. The covenant is there. But when they talk about it, they say, well, covenant is really hard to keep on our side. And so what we do is we do the best that we can in order to maintain covenant with each other. And one of the key things, like you were talking about, that should cause a lot of problems in their community. The thing is that one of their key beliefs, that one of the very first ones there is believing everyone in how they believe, and that's okay. Right. It goes basically what it does is instead of making everything objective, which the Bible's pretty objective, isn't it? There's a right, there's a wrong, there's doctrine, there's all this stuff. It makes everything subjective and relative. One of the ladies that was on there she said, you know, one of the things that I hated about, because she grew up Catholic, one of the things that she hated about the Catholic Church is how everything had to be this way. And she said, but when I found these folks, she said, they were just open to whatever I wanted to believe. And I found a freedom in that. Yeah. So, Thyatira, let's get back to where we were, was that. That is how they lived. The only exception was the imperial religion. The imperial religion had to be the top religion. Because if it wasn't, then they were going to have a problem with the government. Okay? But this is how the Romans ran things. You can believe whatever you want to believe. We don't care. Just believe mostly in the emperor and work good. Can you see why Christians would have a problem with this? This didn't go away. It's still here. If you want to go visit them, they're on battlefield in Springfield right now. They're right next to another Assembly of God church. They're there. And I guarantee you, 25 years from now, assuming they're still around, hopefully they're not. God, please shut them down. I pray that every time I drive by them. If they're still there, whatever social thing is happening at that time, that's what they're going to snag onto. This is the spirit that is infecting our nation right now. I'm going to tell you, like right now, I'm still in school. I'm in school again, and as many of you know, and I'm working on becoming a licensed counselor in the state of Missouri. And the ethics for the American Counseling Association, the code of ethics, has so much of this buried in it. You work for the government. It's the same thing, isn't it? So, I want to be very clear. This exists. This isn't like, hey, this could happen again in the future. This is here, now. What other observations did you guys get? Let's take one more. They don't. Yeah. Right. It's not. They don't. They don't have a Bible. I will tell you that I was expecting that question, and I did watch one of their services online. It was interesting. So, there are popular worship songs we do in church, right? We do popular worship songs here in the United States, here at Life 360. We did four of them today. They're all four of them popular worship songs throughout history. Why? Because, you know, first of all, it's hard to write a song, y'all. I'm just going to tell you, it's hard. Second, it's hard to be a good song that, well, good song, period, or a song that you get right, because that's the hard part about Christian music. Not only does it have to be catchy, because you want people to listen to it, it's got to be right. That's hard. So, as far as I can tell, they just went, forget all that junk. We're not going to pick out any Christian songs. They, you know that song, A Frog in the Hole in the Hole in the Bottom of the Sea? They did that as a worship round. Yes.
What?
They did that as a worship round. Like, they did that as a round, like, did the whole thing. And their choir, they have a choir, and their choir sang a song. I'm pretty sure it was Bob Dylan. Yes, it's, you know, like We Are the World moment stuff, huh? Oh, and then the young lady got up there. Presumably the pastor got up there, and she got up there and gave a message. Some of it was from Emerson or other writers. Yes. Yeah, I know. They take the modern works of art, the modern works of the world, and they incorporate, you know, as long as it's something that makes sense to them, and in general is about building covenant together as people, making a peaceful society, they do it. Yes. I'll be honest with you. I was looking at how they do it and their service order and everything, and I went, that's kind of a copy paste from just about every church that you would go to. I mean, some of y'all go to different churches that you guys are here visiting. That's wonderful. Thank you for being here. But to be honest with you, was our service order that much different? No. We got up, we sang some songs, we got down, had some turnover and flop time, which I call that turnover and flop. By the way, why do I call it turnover and flop? Because on stage, I'm turning over from being up there, and I'm coming over here, and I flop down. No, no, it's an opportunity for everyone to shake hands and all that. I mean, you guys probably do that in your church or something similar. There's, you know, because the reality is that it takes time to transition from worship to the podium. Sometimes you have to bring out the podium. You know, different churches have different things. Chesterfield, they have to bring out the side screen because they bring out a screen that the pastor will preach the slides off of on the screen that are up on the big screen. And it's just every church does it a little bit different. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have your worship songs. You're going to have your greeting times. You're going to have your offering times. You're going to have your announcement times. And then you're going to have your message and then prayer. All of those are going to be similar into there. And guess what? They didn't do anything different. Except for prayer time, they had a moment of silence or a moment of reflection. And that was for you to do whatever you felt you needed to do. Interesting, huh? Yes, the coexist bumper stickers. You ever seen those? That's them. All right, so economic temptation. Every time we buy something from a store, we are participating in what's called international. We're participating in what's called the international economic system. Did you know that? What that means is that we are buying things that are supporting the countries, the governments, or the companies that operate those things. So, for instance, let's say you're going to the grocery store, and in the grocery store you have a bunch of different stuff. And let's specifically take a look at bananas. Bananas. Everyone loves. Does anyone not like bananas? They don't like bananas. Anyone not like bananas? Yeah, everyone likes bananas. Come on. Bananas are tasty. They're wonderful. They got potassium and magnesium. They're great for babies because they're mushy and they usually won't choke on them. Yeah. But did you know that when you do that, you're actually also contributing to economic inequality? Economic inequality. So this is a phrase we like to use a lot of times, economic inequality. Money is not fair. The money systems are not fair. But unlike a system in the United States where we're like, it's not economically equal right now because, you know, me who works in McDonald's isn't making as much as a CEO of a company. Most of us would sit back in our logic and go, yeah, well, that makes sense. But here's the thing. For instance, in 1954, the U.S. government responded to a perceived threat to one of its fruit companies, Chiquita, by helping to overthrow a democratically elected government in Guatemala. We did that. When banana workers in 1975 demanded fair wages for their workers, the larger companies that controlled 90% of the banana market starved most of them into submission, bribing a government to silence the rest. Think about where our products come from. Think about the people who are suffering because of what we want to buy. We've traded our desire for justice in the world for cheaper products, often produced by slave labor. Temu, anybody? Walmart. Target. Price Cutter. Aldi. We don't use slave labor, do we? No, we don't use slave labor, but we are all... we're all getting something from it. We can talk all day about tariffs and all this other stuff, but at the end of the day, the question is, are these companies paying what they should be to the workers, or are they starving them? Because sometimes it's cheaper just to get another person. We talked about this when we were talking about the missionaries to South Africa. The people that work there work in a platinum mine. And the safety regulations in that area are not where they should be, obviously. And this is where like 30-40% of the world's platinum comes from. Platinum's pretty important. You don't have a car without platinum. Why? Because it has to go into your catalytic converter. And without a catalytic converter, then you start polluting the world more. Did you know that? It also makes your car sound really weird. If you ever want to know what your car would sound like without a catalytic converter, just park in North Springfield for 45 minutes, and you will find out. Yeah, park at his work. Visit Lebanon a few times. I'm sure there's places in Branson too, right? Yeah. People are dying to make catalytic converters. Does that sound right to you? Christians, I'm asking you, does that sound right? Does it sound right to you that we go out and we buy cheap things made in China knowing that they're made by slaves? Or we just don't want to think about it. You didn't even know about it, did you? Yeah. So the Uyghurs, who are a people in Western China. I always get that backwards because they're on a different coast. Anyway, they're in Western China. They are Muslims living in a communist government. And they are often, very often, subjected to slave-type labor. They don't call it slavery because if they called it slavery, America would go up in arms and we'd have a problem. They just don't pay them enough to live and be able to provide for their family as a subsistence wage. That doesn't sound right, does it? We're so caught up in this whole, like, you know, fight for 15 thing in the United States. We're so caught up in all this stuff, like, and we think, well, gosh, come on, guys. I mean, all you're going to do is just raise the price of a Big Mac. And people's jobs get replaced by machines. We have coal workers that lose their jobs because of the government's regulations on coal, and then the leadership comes out and says, go learn to code. Some of these guys barely finished high school. Some of them didn't. You want them to go code? We live in a nation where still today our number one export is pornography. It used to be corn. It used to be corn and now it's porn. You know, we changed our consonants, I guess. So what should we do? Christians, what should we do when we know that going to Walmart and buying that banana is going to cause someone, it's going to cause some company to get money, and they're not going to pay enough to their workers? What should we do? What should we do? Well, I'm going to tell you something. See, back in the day, we had this whole, like, thing with Disney. You remember this whole thing in the 90s with Disney? Where Disney was like, you're putting out bad... Yeah, this was happening back in the 90s, kids. We were upset with Disney back in the 90s, okay? And we did this whole, like, boycott. Remember boycotts? Christians would boycott stuff. We recently, I mean, in America, and I don't drink, but in America, there was, like, this whole, like, Bud Light boycott, and that actually worked. But guess who was hurt? Was the company hurt, Anheuser-Busch? No, because guess what? They sold Modelo too, and everyone switched to Modelo, and they were drinking that. So the company wasn't hurt. Bud Light got, as a subsidy, got hurt. And eventually they backed off because marketing and wanting to make more money. You know, economic temptation. So what do? Do we stop buying bananas? Well, let's track that. What happens if we stop buying bananas? Well, those bananas are going to rot. But who's it going to hurt more? The companies are not going to make as much money. And what are they going to end up doing? There's going to be too much supply, not enough demand. So the price will go down even further. Eventually, the companies won't make enough money, and they'll have to start laying off workers. You know, the ones that aren't making a living wage. Now they're making nothing. And now there's less supply. And then our demand is going to come back because, you know, how long can we really live without bananas? I mean, how long can we cook? How long can we bake without bananas? Right? It's a big deal. It's like boycotting eggs. You can't do it. The reality is it's going to cause more problems for banana workers. And it's not going to address any inequities. So what do we have to do? Well, church, it gets complicated. We have to do what Christ told us to do. Go and make disciples. Do you think these banana company industry people, if they're shown what Jesus wants them to do, would continue to do something like this? they started living in a moral way, do you think that's what they would continue to do, slave labor? No. That's hard work, though. That's CEO-level stuff. That's something I can't do. I can't do that. Well, you can pray for it. Next time you eat a banana, pray for the banana worker that picked it. Because their child is starving. You think God can't do something with that? Yes, he can. You know what's crazy about our society? Right now, there's a drug dealer on a corner or in a parking lot of a McDonald's. And he's selling drugs right now because he can make more selling the drugs in a day than he could working in that McDonald's that he's in the parking lot for in a month. That's the world we live in. What's that? Yeah. I mean, you could probably tell us tons of stories. But what do we do? See, this is where things get complicated, doesn't it? Because most of us, we just want to not think about it, and we just want to move on and just go buy our bananas and drive through McDonald's without thinking about that car over there with that guy sitting there. And you know what's happening. We want to drive through the square in Springfield and ignore every person that's homeless. We want to ignore our family members who are absolutely doing something illegal or wrong because we just don't want to deal with it. But we don't stand up for righteousness. We don't do what we're supposed to be doing. This is what we call modern pluralism. We will accept evil in our lives so that we can go along to get along. Most of us are so comfortable with our lives and we're perfectly happy where we are. We just don't want to rock the boat. What needs to happen, church? Do we have to get thrown into Patmos? Like John? For us to go, wow, this is worse than I thought. Do we have to be persecuted as a church for us to get a realization of what's going on in our society? Or to pray for the things that need to change in our world? What needs to happen, guys? There. Get out of your comfort zone. Don't be silent. Can you fix everything? No, and I'm not expecting you to. But when it comes to the spirit of Jezebel, there is a lot of things we can do. Number one is pray. You know, like I said, every time I pass that church, I pray, Lord, shut it down. Am I going to go over there and burn it down? No, that's stupid. Don't do that. That's not going to help. Every time I drive past Planned Parenthood, I pray the same thing. Shut it down. Am I going to run in there with a bomb? No, because that's not going to help. Do you remember back when there was riots in the streets and people were like jumping on cars because they were upset with how things were? And you're just like, could you please get off my car? I don't care about your situation. Do you think that really helped? Why do we think that would help us? It's not going to help. What's going to help is reaching people for Jesus, helping to convert people and help them find a relationship with Jesus Christ, helping them to understand that going along to get along is not going to get people to heaven, helping people to understand that we're only here temporarily. These bodies are on loan. When we give it up, we are spirit and we are gone. We are not here. And we are answering to Jesus Christ at that moment. How about in our situation? Sometimes in the companies that we work for, we can only advance by sacrificing our families or destroying our credibility. Jesus's approval on the day of judgment has to matter more to us than wealth or status, or we're going to succumb to the temptation that Thyatira did. We have to remain vigilant. We have to remain faithful until the end. Did you know that there's a survey that was conducted recently and showed that 72% of 18 to 25-year-olds believed that there's no such thing as absolute truth? 72%. In many Christian liberal arts colleges and universities, one-third believe that there are other ways to salvation other than Jesus. Christian universities. What kind of heavenly father would send his son to die on the cross if the plan of salvation was actually a multiple choice question? So where does that put us? Thyatira. It's being commended on its love and its faith and its service. And church, I'm going to say this pretty clear. I think if you're active in your church, you love Jesus, you probably fall right there. You could be commended for your love of others and your faith to Jesus and the service that you give to your church and your community. Here's the thing. How does that make you different from the Unitarian Universalists? It doesn't. That doesn't make you any different. We could do a billion things good for our community here in Conway. We could reach people and feed people and do all this wonderful stuff. And we should. We absolutely should. We don't need to be Ephesus where we're not helping people. Thyatira was being commended on what they were doing good. That the problem is that they were compromising, tolerating immorality. Call a sin, for goodness sakes, people. Don't accept it as a part of who you are. Don't accept it as part of your church. Sin has no place in a church, folks. I'm telling you. It has no place here. And if it happens with me, call me out, please, because I don't want to be there. And I promise you, I will do the same for you. Some of you have done that to me, and I appreciate it every single time. Sometimes we won't see eye to eye. But we can figure this out. We can figure out what the Bible says. We can figure out where Scripture is. Because here's the reality. Unlike some, we have a map. We have a guide. We have doctrine right there. It says right there. We sang the song Creed today. Right? And that's based upon the Apostles' Creed. Soon we're going to be talking about Sardis, we're going to be talking about Philadelphia, and we're going to be talking about Laodicea. And they've got their own things that they're dealing with, but I don't want to touch on this right now. Guys, if you are just tolerating immorality in your life, repent. I love it. This chart here, it's really, really simple. Remember and repent. You know, don't fear, be faithful. Repent, repent. Can I give you a heads up on what's coming up on the next one? Repent. Oh my goodness. Philadelphia is going to give us a break, though. Can we pray? I want to pray with you guys today. Will you stand with me? We're going to pray. And I have this book here. It was written by a friend of mine. His name is Pastor James Hester, and he's a pastor up in North Dakota. He gave me this book, and it's a book designed as a guide to help pray against the spirits that are in this world. And it's a very interesting book, but it comes with a warning at the beginning. And the warning is this: if you start praying these prayers, it's going to get the enemy's attention. And your life may suffer. But if we don't pray against the spirits in this world that are trying to destroy us, I don't want to scare you, but there is a spiritual element to this world. There just is. You can't walk through life pretending there's no spirit in this world. When God kicked Satan and his angels out of heaven, he didn't kick them out and send them to hell. He sent them to earth. They're here. But so is the presence of God. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to lead us in some prayer. And as I'm praying, if any of this really, really sparks with you, you pray on your own right there where you are, okay? All right. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you today that we could come together and we could learn about this Jezebel spirit. God, this is something we in America are dealing with on a regular basis. This is not just history. The Jezebel spirit influences us, or tries to influence us and control us and dominate us. And Lord, I pray right now that we would bind that spirit, that it could not find its footing in our lives. I pray against seduction, witchcraft, fear, lying, idolatry, extreme self-abandonment. I pray against immorality, against murder. And I pray against the strong and persistent attitude to get our own way, God. I pray, Lord, that you would loose upon everyone here today a spirit of submission, of gentle and quiet, of purity, reverence, humility, and truth. Lord, I pray against those things that would hold us back from what you have for us. I pray against a lack of biblical authority in our lives. I pray against the lack of submission, against the lack of inward beauty. God, you created us beautiful. You said so. But we beat each other up. We beat ourselves up so much. Lord, I pray against a desire to rule and control. I pray against unforgiveness towards abusive, chauvinistic, or cowardly men. I pray against generational things that would want to tear us down. I pray against the judgmental attitudes and selfishness, low self-image, and covetousness. Lord, I thank you that we can come together. We can pray to bind this spirit and release it from us. God, you have the power. You have the glory. You're the only one who heals, changes hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give us a creative mind of prayer, how to pray creatively. Lord, I pray that if we're in positions where we can make changes in our world, that you would inspire us to do that for your glory. Lord, I pray for opportunities this week where we can share who you are and what you have done. Because, Lord, the only way to fix this broken and lost world is to show people to you. Lord, be with us this week. I pray everyone would find you. In your name, amen. You guys have an awesome, amazing week, and God bless.